And last but not least, we have Björn Hartmann. Please welcome Björn, who is a DJ and who is going to provide us with the music tonight to celebrate the German launch downstairs.
Thank you. Well, I want to give you a very brief glimpse of how Creative Commons licenses are used in the independent electronic music industry today, which is kind of a parallel universe to what's going on with the majors, and we really have no points of intersection other than that they are now also starting to use the internet as a means of distribution. So, a brief biographical background. I've been involved for about 10 years now in electronic music as a DJ, producer, label manager. About 4 years ago, I started my first own vinyl label called Tuning Spork Records, which kind of stuck to the traditional formula of putting out vinyl for DJs and enthusiasts. And well, that was started in the US. I then moved back to Europe and kind of got very disenchanted with the existing distribution mechanisms because they were really neither serving the artists nor the labels very efficiently. So last year, I started the online net label techstone.org, and let me give you a brief definition of a net label. That's kind of the status quo right now. So it's a label where you can download free music online, mostly in MP3 or AUK format, and by now Creative Commons licenses have been established as the standard that all of these works are made available under. So on techstone.org, in less than a year, we have now close to 20 releases available, which is more than we did on our vinyl labels in the 4 years combined previously. We've had more than 100,000 downloads from our site directly. Once again, we also have no clue of secondary, of file sharing, those type of statistics, but very successful. And from the beginning, Creative Commons was an integral part of the net label concept. So why? I can give you three good reasons why it makes sense to use Creative Commons licenses. One is promotion, second is community building now, and the third is future proofing. So, promotion. In the electronic music scene right now, the mode of compensation, how artists make a living, are not from publishing records. It's from performing and getting fees from performances. But to get booked as a performer, you have to build a reputation first. And the only way to efficiently build a reputation is to release music. So that's why most of the music on vinyl and in niche format still gets released today. It is not about money there. So, if it's only about reputation and promotion, then why go through that whole rigmarole of manufacturing, waiting 6 months for something to get released, putting thousands of euros into something, maybe recouping it, maybe not? If you can just skip all that, make the music available online for free, tell people, hey, we want you to give this to your friends. We want you to give this to everyone who may be interested in hearing it. And guess what? It works. Second point is community building. So with the major labels, you kind of get an artificial distinction that is enforced between producers on the one hand, these mystified artists, and then the audience that just consumes whatever comes out of the pipeline. So in electronic music, and especially the more and more experimental you get, the more you get into a niche, this is not the case. No, you're really involved directly with your audience, and you want to share. You want to have an open discussion. Ideally, if artists agree to have derivatives, then you can get a discussion in the work itself. You can send a track, someone sends you a remix back, and you just build a vibrant community that way. Also, there's now starting to be a lot of cross-disciplinary exchange. I would love to talk with Michael later on about using music, and I have already for months been in very interesting discussions with Janko Ratkas about Creative Commons and alternative licensing models. The final point why it makes sense to use Creative Commons licenses for us as musicians and label heads is future-proofing. Especially the smaller a label gets, the higher the chances that in 5 or 10 years from now on, it's not going to be around anymore. So we should have no illusions that the creators of today may not be in a situation to be able to support their work years down the line. Under traditional copyright, under a traditional copyright system, you then end up with lots of orphans, where suddenly all these works that were around 5 years earlier drop off the face of the planet. No one has it, no one has the rights to distribute them. So we want to take a stand now and say, this music is out now and it will be out for as long as anyone has a copy around and is willing to share it. And I do want to mention at this point the work of Brewster Kahle at archive.org in San Francisco, who basically is, well, not single-handedly, but with only one or two other sites, supporting the entire NetLabel community by giving us all unlimited storage, unlimited bandwidth, as long as we use Creative Commons licenses. And in that way, we're building an archive for the future right now. We have more than 100 NetLabels online right now. There's more than 2,000 releases. Just go to archive.org and start to browse. Final point, well, not really a point, it's an invitation. You can either stay here to watch the movie, or you can join me downstairs in the cafeteria lounge area, where I will play some of our own labels back catalogs, some of other net labels that have been releasing music under the Creative Commons licenses, and sprinkled in here and there one or two tracks released under a normal regime, just to make you question whether you can tell the difference or not. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So see you downstairs for drinks, and then I think it's not an exclusive event, so you can still come upstairs and listen to the music downstairs now.